It's 8:06 here at 55KRC, the talk station. A very happy Thursday to you. Call it Friday Eve if you prefer. What a good day to be tuned in right now, because on the phone we have Josh Mandel, which I recommend you head on over to his webpage. He is running for Senate if you didn't get the memo on that one. JoshMandel.com. Josh, Happy New Year to you. Welcome back to the program. It's always great talking with you.
Hey, Brian. Happy New Year.
Everything going well so far?
Things are going really well. Kids are great. Gideon is 5. Judah is 7. Rosie is 8.
Oh, my word.
Rosie's doing taekwondo, and the boys and Rosie, they're both into rollerblading. So we've been going to this, like, old-school roller rink right out of the 1980s, and everything's good, man. Family's terrific, and the campaign's going well. I'm the leading candidate for United States Senate here in Ohio, and amazingly, I'm still in the lead, even though my opponents have spent tens of millions of dollars against me. And you know what we have is something more powerful than money. We've got the people on our side.
Well, you have the people and the right message too. I mean, messages can get lost in the shuffle of politics, but you've been consistent over the years. I mean, you demonstrated an outstanding decision-making and prudence as your when you were treasurer here in Ohio, and just did a great job with that. Appreciate your service to our country and in the Marines. So your background is impeccable, and I think that probably is why you're ahead of the pack in terms of the run for Senate. And I wish you all the best of luck. And again, I'll encourage my listeners to check out your website, make a donation, maybe help you with the campaign in any way you can. JoshMandel.com. Josh, I'm inclined to let's just start with the COVID whole situation. I know one of the topics that you were interested in talking about, and I guess we can dovetail it into the broader issue of what's going on out there, but we at least have another victory, this for the Navy SEALs that were seeking a religious exemption from the COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Now, I am troubled by any of these mandates because, Josh, if the vaccine actually prevented the contraction and transmission of COVID, you might have a better argument for why you would get it. But right now, we all know that it doesn't. You can still get COVID even having been triple vaccinated. You can still spread it just as easily as someone who hasn't been vaccinated. So you still have to mask up. This is just, it's crazy. But this is the world we live in. But religious exemptions are religious exemptions. And even if a vaccine works, we do allow for religious exemption, as Judge Napolitano loves to point out. The very first freedom that the Founding Fathers mentioned in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is the freedom of religion, and that it shall not be infringed upon. This is an infringement on one's religious beliefs, is it not?
It indeed is. Religious liberty is being trampled in this country. You know, one of the topics you mentioned was this Navy SEAL lawsuit against the federal government. So as your listeners might know, I'm a Marine Corps vet, did a couple tours in Iraq, did my small part. And as I worked with and went on patrols with and did operations with Navy SEALs, I can tell you they are the best of the best of the best. And part of the Navy SEAL focus is on their incredible mental acuity and physical ability. You know, their body is their temple. And as a United States Navy SEAL, if they choose to get a vaccine, that's their freedom to choose that. But if they do not want a vaccine, the federal government should not be able to force them to get one, because it's the same federal government that's draining them, that's hammering into them. Your body is your temple. You need to be mentally and physically at the pointy tip of the spear, top of the game in this entire world, in order to conduct the operations they conduct, like capturing or killing Osama bin Laden and a lot of the other, you know, things they've done over the years. And so I was proud to see these Navy SEALs file suit against the federal government and say, hey, you know, just because we join the military doesn't mean we give up our religious freedom. And this judge in his ruling hit it on the head, and he essentially said, when you read the United States Constitution, there is no COVID exemption to religious liberty. There is no COVID exemption to our constitutional rights. And the ruling was spot on, and kudos and bravo to the Navy SEALs for having the guts and the courage to take on the federal government.
All right, let me just play devil's advocate, because we all know, and because of this topic has come up so much in view of this the COVID situation we've been dealing with now for quite some time, that military personnel are obligated to get any number of vaccines as a part of their a willingness to serve the country. You know, you're going to be traveling overseas. It's like, we need to get vaccines for certain diseases if we're planning on going to foreign lands. The Navy, the military, generally speaking, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, all must get multiple vaccines for a variety of things. How do you address the argument that, well, what the hell's the difference? These guys got vaccines previously for measles, mumps, or rubella, or however 9 gajillion shots you had to get. This is just one more obligation to be in the military.
Yeah, I reject on its face any comparison of what's going on with COVID to the polio vaccine or the measles or some of these others that have been around for not just decades, but generations.
Because they work?
Right. And the COVID vaccine, as you mentioned, you can have it, three of the vaccines and quadruple boosted, but people are still getting COVID. And so, first of all, it doesn't work. But on top of that, the bigger issue is it hasn't been around that long. It's not time-tested. It's one of the reasons why I'm so strongly against these vaccine mandates for kids, for our children.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for the federal government to try to mandate that kids get a vaccine, or the state governments try to mandate, when they have no idea the long-term effects on children. And not to mention, kids aren't dying from this. They're not even at risk. It's outrageous. And so, yeah, I just reject the – I think it's a false premise to compare the COVID vaccine to polio or mumps or measles, which have been around for so long.
Right. Well, and that's exactly why I raised the question, because this one does not prevent the contraction or transmission of the very disease that it was designed to stop, the contraction or transmission. It may keep you from being in the hospital. It may keep you off a respirator, but our hospitals are filled with people who are triple vaxxed and yet got COVID anyway. I think that, you know, on the basis of your analysis, which I agree with completely, this should fall into the category of, you shouldn't have to be profess a religious reason for saying no. It should be more like a conscientious objector objection. They should entertain that. Listen, until it's been tried and true and actually gone through the full FDA protocol process, this is still on an emergency basis, I don't have to take it. I'm afraid of it. They haven't demonstrated its efficacy yet.
Well, on top of that, and I guess to just hammer home the point you just made, Brian, you know, a year ago, the federal government was saying, hey, you should go out there and get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Tens of millions of people got it. And then 2 weeks ago, they said, you know, we're noticing that people are dying from the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. We're going to put that one on the shelf for now. Imagine if you're one of those people who actually got it, who believed the federal government the first time. I mean, and on top of that, a lot of folks don't realize the politicians in Washington gave complete exemption from liability to the pharmaceutical companies.
Yes, they did.
So if someone is harmed or, God forbid, killed from one of these vaccines, the pharmaceutical companies, they're held harmless. It's you can't make this stuff up. And listen, the left in this country, the mainstream media, which is it's a department of the Democrat Party,
pretty much,
and a lot of these squishy rhino Republicans who are, you know, part of the Fauci brigade, they would call you and they would call me anti-vaxxers. The reality is, we're not pro-vax or anti-vax.
That's correct.
We are pro-freedom.
Amen.
I am pro-freedom. I'm pro a mom or a dad having the freedom to choose whether or not their child gets a vaccine.
Right.
I am for an individual having the freedom to choose whether he or she gets a vaccine. This is up to individuals. It's up to parents for their kids. It's just not up to the federal government. It's not up to the Fauci himself. It's not up to all these mini Faucis like Amy Acton. It's not up to governors like DeWine. It is up to individual citizens and to parents, whether we as citizens and our kids get the vaccine. This is an issue of freedom and liberty.
It is.
And the government thinks it's an issue of power and control, but it's not. It's not about power and control. It's not about health and science. This is about freedom and liberty, and we have to wrest back that control so we could advance and protect the freedom and the liberty of us as individuals. Sorry, I'm getting a little pumped up and emotional.
No,
here, I just feel so strongly about this.
I do too, and that is exactly my line as well. I have never said do not get a vaccine. I never said they're going to kill you. I know there were some studies out there which suggest that it may cause some problem for some folks if you get the vaccine, but that is for you to consume by way of information, for you to decide by way of discussion with your physician, your medical provider, and for you to decide if it's the right thing to do. Same thing with whatever drug you want to take insofar as trying to stop COVID if you catch it. You know, the whole idea that they deny the off-label use of a drug like ivermectin, which has been around forever. Listen, if your doctor thinks it's good for you and you've read enough, or he or she has read enough to say that, you know what, your symptoms really warrant a try on this, you should be able to do it. But here across this great land of freedom of ours, we got pharmaceutical, or we have pharmacies which will refuse to fill the prescription, and outright denials of the ability for doctors to even prescribe that drug. That to me is just more than insane. I feel like I live in the Soviet Union of old days.
Listen, that's what it feels like. I have a buddy who was a Navy SEAL, and he was part of SEAL Team 6. I mean, he was, you can imagine some of the, you know, operations he went on.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
out of the SEALs now, he's out of the military. And I was texting with him the other day. I texted him this article I saw, you know, where the judge blocked the Pentagon from punishing the SEALs, you know, who refused to get COVID. And I said, hey, what do you think about this? And he, I'm going to read this text he sent me back. He said, I agree, the SEALs shouldn't be penalized. Personally, I don't think the government should tell people what they need or don't need. If I wanted to live in a dictatorship, I'd move to China.
There you have it. And that's the direction.
That's it, man. I can't say it any more better than that.
Yeah, and, you know, having grown up during the Soviet Union Cold War, I always default to the Soviet Union when I really should be focusing on the present problem, which is the existential threat that is China. Hang on a second, Josh. We'll take a quick break here. You got an interesting drag queen story you wanted to let my listeners know about. Josh Mandel says no. Appropriately themed bumper music for my conversation with Josh Mandel, who is, of course, running for Senate from the state of Ohio. So vote for him, or at least get in touch with his campaign at joshmandel.com. And because it's a big field, but Josh, as he pointed out in the last segment, is leading the field in terms of the polling data, and there's good reason for that. What's this drag queen story, Josh Mandel? I see the article where your name is mentioned in connection with a drag queen story hour.
Yeah, I called it child abuse. So there's this theater up in Cleveland called the Near West Theater that put on this program called, quote-unquote, Drag Queen Story Hour. And outrageously, they are having drag queens read stories with a drag queen twist to three-year-olds and four-year-olds and five-year-olds. It makes me blood-boiling angry.
Well, let me ask you this, Josh. What is the argument for this being any part of childhood? What is the professed argument?
Exactly. So the argument they are making, putting it on, is that it's under the umbrella of quote-unquote diversity and inclusion and gender awareness and all these, like, gobbledygook words. And the reality is, it's child abuse. Like, when we were 5, 6 years old, like, we were playing kickball. We were playing tag.
Yeah.
And, like, now they're basically stripping kids' childhood from them.
They're sexualizing them.
Yeah, they're pushing sexuality on five-year-olds. Like,
yeah.
Come on, guys, stop it. I mean, it's an abuse of children in my mind. And on top of that, one of the hospitals up in Cleveland, the University Hospital, which is, you know, that hospital and the Cleveland Clinic are the two biggest hospitals up there. University Hospitals is sponsoring it. And this is, you got to remember, that hospital receives hundreds of millions of taxpayer funding. And so now they're using part of the taxpayer money to go fund drag queen story hour for kids. It's so outrageous. And so I posted something online. I said, this is child abuse. It's outrageous that tax money's going towards this. It's outrageous you're even holding this. Like, let kids be kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, they attacked me, calling me transphobic and this and that and all these names. And, like, people can call me names, like, as much as they want. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, they can call me whatever they want.
I'm used to that, yeah. You put that down a long time ago.
Yeah. I'm just trying to stand up for kids. Like, I'm a father. I have, you know, Gideon's 5 years old, Judah's 7 years old, Rosie's 8 years old. And I don't want sexuality being pushed on my kids or your kids or anyone's kids.
Yeah.
It's just, it's insane. It's wrong.
It is certainly age inappropriate. And I just have to note on drag queens, it kind of cracks me up because on one hand, you know, you have this whole left-wing open sexuality mindset that there are no differences between genders, or you can be whatever you claim you want to be. You know, if I'm born a man and I can call myself a woman and I'm supposed to be accepted by society as a woman, even though I still have the proverbial twig and berries, I still have the X and Y chromosome. Somehow I can deny that. And, you know, I think fine. But when it comes to the drag queen, the transsexual component of it, as we move more and more, and as the left wins that prior argument, and, you know, men start wearing, I know that it is fashionably appropriate for some men to wear skirts, and it is, there's no longer this this distinction between men and women in the clothing department, Josh. You've seen arguments for that. You can't have a separate toy section for girls and a separate section for boys. Everyone is the same. So I have this vision down the road. There won't be any more drag queens anymore because the distinction between men and women's clothing will disappear at some point, rendering what they do pointless.
It's an interesting theory of the case. I mean, you might be right, Brian.
Well, all right. How about this? I'll sum it up. Two words. Khmer Rouge. What did they wear? Right? Are they black pajamas and a hat? Men, women, all had the same haircut, all had the same clothing. Boom. You couldn't tell one from another. There's your future, Josh. You don't have to worry about it down the road. But in the meantime, I'm on your side on this one. Don't sexualize children. Let them have their childhood and let them develop naturally as God intended. Josh Mandel, always a pleasure having you on the program. I wish you the best of luck. Again, go to joshmandel.com. Learn more about Josh. You can even donate with cryptocurrency over on his site. Josh, until we get to talk again, the best of health and to you and your family, and I'll look forward to having you back on the program real soon.
Thanks, man. Look forward to seeing you.
Take care, brother. Coming up, iHeartMedia aviation expert Jay Ratliff. Got some good topics to talk about him with him today.